Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Thursday, June 29th, and this is your FT News Briefing. Sterling had itself a rough day, and mid-sized U.S. banks are trying to become more liquid.
They looked at what happened to Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic, and they're thinking, I don't want to be there.
Plus, there's more fallout from the sexual assault allegations against Crispin Odie. I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. Sterling had its biggest one-day fall against the dollar in more than a month. The pound dropped 0.8% yesterday. The FT's bonds and currencies reporter Mary McDougall explains what triggered the sell-off.
Well, I think the interesting thing about it is that it's been on a downward trend since last Thursday, when the Bank of England unexpectedly raised interest rates by 0.5 percentage point. to 5%. And normally, higher borrowing costs translate to a stronger currency because a higher rate means a higher return. But what the market is telling us here is that investors are worried that the Bank of England's rate increases are going to result in some economic pain. I think an important point in all of this, sterling has been very strong this year. It's up about 4.5%. So we're really just seeing it start to weaken in the last week.
Mary says that's not very helpful for the Bank of England.
Because a weaker currency can be inflationary because it drives up the cost of imported goods. And the UK has a bit of an inflation problem. You know, last month, core inflation, which is what the Bank of England tracks, rose 7.1% year on year.
This dip in sterling happened as central bankers from around the world were at a conference in Portugal. That included Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell and Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey.
The key takeaway was that they were all pretty firm in their messaging that rates are going to stay higher for longer, and they will keep rates higher until they bring inflation back down to target. Andrew Bailey, he definitely hinted that perhaps the peak of UK rates would last for longer than the market is currently pricing in. So that would probably have a downward effect on sterling, too.
That's the FT's bonds and currencies reporter, Mary McDougall. Regional and mid-sized U.S. banks are working to sell off their loan portfolios. They want to raise cash after seeing Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic fail this spring. Here to explain is the FT's U.S. financial editor, Brooke Masters. Hi, Brooke.
Hey, Mark.
So, Brooke, why are banks doing this right now?
Basically, for two different reasons. You can kind of think about this as a bit of a barbell. On one side, they looked at what happened to Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic, which were hit by big deposit outflows and then suddenly had to sell assets to come up with cash to meet them. And they're thinking, I don't want to be there. And so they are selling off high-quality assets that they can get cash or very liquid assets for so that they have them in case of a problem. They're basically upping their liquidity. The other thing they're doing is they're thinking, okay, in a new, more straitened world where I have to have more cash and I'm probably going to have higher capital requirements once the Fed gets through with its response to the Silicon Valley Bank crisis, I need to think really hard about which of these loan portfolios I want to keep. Which businesses can I afford to be in? Because if there are tougher capital requirements, some kinds of lending are more expensive than others. And so they are starting to get rid of the things they're not going to stay in.
Yeah, but Brooke, are investors actually interested in what these banks are selling?
Well, yes, there is demand on the private credit side for good assets. I think there's a bit of a paralysis in that the banks would like to sell their portfolios for as close to face value as possible, and the investors would like a great discount, as always happens. And so there's a bit of time needed to agree on these deals because, you know, people have to, the bid-ask spread has to get narrower. And so there's sort of a debate among the investors, like how much risk do you take on the borrower? How much of a discount do you want? And so it's a slow-moving market, but we hear from places like Ares and KKR, which are big, big players in this market, that they are much busier than they were, say, a year ago or 2 years ago.
So, Brooke, what are you looking for as these sales get underway?
I think I'm going to be looking for banks selling off big portfolios that suggest that they are no longer going to do certain kinds of business. I mean, commercial real estate is an obvious area, which we're in a cyclical period. Some banks may just decide, I'm not doing this anymore. I think I'm also going to be watching the discount levels, because right now the discounts are not that big, which suggests that these are high-quality assets and people are not yet worried about credit quality. If the discounts start to get wider, that means the banks are more stressed, they're more worried about the economy, and investors may get a great deal, but there may also be real trouble ahead economically.
Brooke Masters is the FT's U.S. financial editor. Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks for having me.
Things are looking bleak for British hedge fund titan Odi Asset Management. The firm has been in crisis since the FT exposed a series of sexual misconduct allegations against its founder, Crispin Odi. He denies the allegations, but has been kicked out of the firm. The firm's banking partners have severed ties, making it hard to protect investors against market moves and losses. And as clients rush for the exit, the firm has been forced to suspend trading in some of its main funds. FT reporter Emma Dunkley has more on the fallout from the scandal.
So they halted trading in five funds a couple of weeks ago, and they said that one of them, the Odi Swan Fund, would be liquidated and the money returned to investors. Now, the latest development this week is the two hedge funds that Crispin Odi until recently ran himself have also now been suspended. So that's the firm's flagship Odi European Inc. Fund and the OEI Mac Fund.
Emma says Odi Asset Management has also been in discussions with other firms. They've been talking about offloading some of the funds and fund managers to rival companies.
This, in a way, should help to contain some of the reputational damage, because it might allay client concerns if they see that their money is no longer managed by Odi Asset Management, but in fact, another company with another brand, but under the existing fund manager. So we wrote the news after seeing a letter from Odi Asset Management noting that four funds are potentially being transferred to another company called SW Mitchell. And these funds are run by a manager called Oliver Kelton. And the idea being that if these talks succeed, these funds are moved to this rival firm, if you will, underneath Oliver Kelton, the existing fund manager. But hopefully investors' concerns will be allayed by the fact that it's now housed by a different company that isn't impacted by any of the issues that Odi Asset Management is currently facing.
The UK's Financial Conduct Authority has been in contact with the company to try and make sure investors are protected.
This will involve them keeping an eye on and being on top of conversations that Odi Asset Management is having with other companies about transferring funds to some of these so-called rivals. But they've also potentially expanded an investigation that they launched a few years ago into Crispin Odi himself. So that's something else we'll be keeping an eye on.
That's the FT's Emma Dunkley. You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.